Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
Yes, indeedy duty. It is we, once again, the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. What?
What? It is we?
I love the way you looked at me because you knew I was probably going to jump all over you for the howdy doody we. What are you doing
well,
there?
Well, it's either a voice or it's a catchphrase.
Yes.
And this week he went with a catchphrase.
Yeah.
He went with a catchphrase.
What was it? What did I say?
Howdy doody we.
Howdy doody. What did I say?
I don't know. We have to play it again. I don't really know.
Please don't do that.
I don't really know.
It was just a little something.
You know, I think everybody just turned off their computers.
No. They didn't.
Sold their computers.
No, no. We thank you for listening. It's yet another edition of the show, boys and girls. I'm Tony Perkins.
And I'm Gary Stein.
What is so funny? Are you drinking? Have you been drinking?
You know I don't drink. Could you imagine if I drank?
No, neither of us drink.
We don't.
Imagine if both of us drank.
Yeah.
We really couldn't get more silly than we are now.
No.
When we're together. I can't imagine what it would be like if we
did
were
you
drinking.
Go to parties as a teenager and have people think that you were probably drinking at the party because you were fun and out?
Yes.
People always thought I was drinking
because
I just would be in party mode,
yeah.
But I never drank or smoked or did drugs.
Same here.
Yeah, I don't drink either.
That was the drunken voice of Rob Spiewak.
Yeah.
Rob has been in recovery. What step are you on?
I keep stumbling, so I don't know.
Also joining us is Rob Ford Jr. Hello, Rob.
Greetings.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. We got to get that mic up. Yeah.
Greetings.
Greetings.
How's it going?
Good. Are you a drinker?
I am. Yeah, every now and then. Yeah.
Is it beer or
what? Beer and dark liquor.
Dark liquor.
Yes.
What is like
brown
rum?
Brown liquor would be like probably
whiskey or
Scotch or whiskey or bourbon guy maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is whiskey brown? I thought whiskey was.
Oh my
clear.
God! Tony.
It's the brownest
For God's
of browns.
Sake, have you been in a bar? Have you ever been in a bar?
Yeah, I thought
I was a bartender. I didn't drink. They loved me because I never drank any of the profit.
Right. Sure.
But yes.
Whiskey's brown.
One of the greatest facts about Rob that you probably don't know is he is the owner of a hookah.
Oh,
a hookah bar?
Yeah.
So he actually owns a beautiful. I seem to remember it being bejeweled.
It was bejeweled.
Now he's not a pothead.
Right.
No.
He smokes tobacco.
Tobacco.
Okay. Good.
In a hookah.
Tobacco. Yeah.
Flavored tobacco.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it mixes with the water.
Yeah.
The water acts as a cooling effect, so it's a nice cool smoke. And
really?
You get the flavor on the X.
You enjoy it that
cool.
much?
I do.
You should have seen Mike O'Mara's face when he brought it into his family's home in Maine.
I would think that would be the kind of thing you'd ask about. Do you mind if I bring my hookah?
I think you asked, but still, it was a little more than we all expected. I mean, it was really like the size of the one the caterpillar had in Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And now, hookah, am I saying it right?
Is it hookah?
Hookah.
Not hooker.
No. Mike said no to those.
That's the way you would say it.
Can I bring a hooker?
Yeah.
It's a family get-together.
Only if you're smoking.
Right. But there are hookah bars now, right?
Yes, there are.
They're blowing up everywhere. Yeah, they really
no
are.
Pun intended.
I've been in them. I've been in a couple of them, and you want to feel like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
I had no business being in one, and I walked out because I don't want to smoke. I don't want to smoke anything.
Now, when you're smoking, though, is the smoke contained? Like when you walk into one,
it's contained in your lungs. It shoots it into your,
Yeah, it's not like you're not smoking. It's not like a vaping or anything like
that.
Right, you're still smoking. And the physics of it, they kind of elude me. The fire is on top.
Yeah, there's a coal on top. And instead of actually burning the tobacco like in a cigarette or a cigar or something like that, where there's actually ash, it cooks the tobacco and it gets it to like if you were to burn some vegetables on the stove or something like that. That's what the end product looks like.
But there aren't any vegetables in there, right?
No, not that I know of. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it at all.
No broccoli in a hookah.
No.
Okay. And so what do you get from it?
You get a little bit of a head buzz when I first started. But
nicotine,
now,
right?
Yeah, nicotine. And
that's got to be good for you.
Yeah, great. Fantastic. I highly recommend it.
Really? No. You know what? Like I say to my children, I'm glad you're making really good choices.
Comedies are funnier. Colors are brighter. Let's start looking for someone to be his backup.
I just got into cartoons, actually.
I bet you did. Now, let me. Are the principles the same? Because when you see a
a hookah. Until recently, I've always thought, drugs.
Yeah.
But it's now it's tobacco, and that's what people are doing. But is it the same principles as when I was in college, guys were doing, they were using bongs. Is it like a bong?
It is in the fact that the water cools the smoke for when you inhale.
Tony, have you ever heard about pipes? People have been known to smoke pipes, too.
No,
you want to know
but a pipe is a fairly, you just
it's
put
simple,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, it's simple,
yeah. And you see, Tony, he had a much more advanced education than I. He went to American University.
Yes.
I went to VCU where people were smoking pot and apples. And I mean, I also there was one particular guy on my floor I won't mention, but he said I got to go and buy some scope, and I said why? He says it's like menthol pot, and he was putting scope in his bong because it tasted like like a
goodness.
Yeah. It's amazing I got out of there alive.
So this was more you were doing more than an apple a day, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it brought the doctors in.
Yeah, I would think so.
AU was different than VCU.
Yeah, it was bong hits, and I remember if I recall correctly. I believe in high school there were a couple of guys who like made a bong in shop class, and like when the guy came and said, "Well, what is this?" They explained it. I don't know if it was it's a cat toy or
flower pot.
Notepad.
It's a scratch toy. Yeah.
That takes guts. Imagine it. You're in high school and you're constructing a bong in class.
I knew somebody who was in a glass blowing class, and the teacher came around and said, "That's very interesting. What are you working on?" And she said, "A very fancy bong."
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is gutsy.
That was you were like a liberal school or something.
I was actually. Yeah.
They teach glass blowing at the hookah bar.
I'm sure that's not all they teach.
We've done a lot on hookah so far, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
We never meant to even go there.
No, we didn't.
No.
As the kids say, that's my bad.
Anyway, welcome to the show. Yeah. Everybody's here. We want to remind you to please like the Tony Perkins Show on Facebook. Follow us at T Perk Show on Twitter. Also, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching More Broadcasting and then clicking on the Tony Perkins Show.
And if you search More Broadcasting, you'll see all of the shows under our network umbrella. And
yes.
By the way, we don't have that merchandise yet, but someday we will have network umbrellas. And it really helps all the shows, particularly help out the Tony Perkins Show. A 5-star review keeps us first and foremost. And so we really appreciate it. Helps us out a lot.
This sounds like a fundraiser.
No, but you got to tell people, because this is Gary Stein, this is where it's at.
That's where it's at?
Social media, it spreads the word.
Okay. All right, Tony.
Boss, it's happening and groovy.
It's a scene, man. It's a scene.
He knows what's going on and what's happening, and the guy still doesn't have a phone.
I'm getting one. You know what I announced this morning?
What?
That I'm probably going to my family. I think I'm going to get the iPhone 6. And you know what the reaction was?
What?
Everybody's been telling me, you got to get a smartphone. So today I said, I think I'm going to get the iPhone 6. They were all like, oh, really? You're jumping right in to go
you
all
can't
to
win.
The top.
You
know.
Can't win. I like the fact that he said that he announced it to his
family. I know. You know what, Rod? I was going to jump all over that. But you were there.
Well, he said, when
it
he
was,
says an announcement,
like a big announcement.
Yeah, like it was a segment that they produced on the news yesterday.
Why don't you do it on Fox 5?
No.
Tony Perkins gets an iPhone 6.
My morning announcements to my family.
Yes. Yeah, you bring out the lectern.
Exactly.
A quote of the day.
Everybody has to sit quietly on the floor folding hands.
And then they say the Pledge of Allegiance.
So listen.
Yes.
If you're getting an iPhone 6,
yes.
When would you like me to arrange for the tutor to come over?
I will need a tutor.
You will.
Well, I have a 32-year-old niece who's living in the house, so she should be able to teach me.
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
And of course, you know, Connor, they're born
Connor
knowing how to
yes.
do that stuff
do.
Now.
Yeah, absolutely
yeah.
true.
You'll be fine.
Absolutely
well,
true.
Well, he's got a flip phone. He's going from a flip phone to an iPhone 6. That's a leap.
It's a leap.
That's a Lamborghini to a Lamborghini.
It is.
Right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you know what? You're a famous guy. Get the 6 Plus.
Now, isn't that the bigger one?
Yeah.
What is this all of a sudden? The phones, they were tiny, and the whole effort was smaller. Now they're getting big again.
I know. Well, the apps are sort of designed for some bigger screens
now. That's right.
And so you benefit from it.
And people are watching, even without an iPad, they're watching movies on their iPhones, so they're getting bigger.
Yeah. We could get a special app that just screams, look at me.
I have that sign on my wall in my bedroom. wanted you to know that. Sorry, Tony, I interrupted you.
That's okay. We're 10 minutes in. We have not promoted the fact that on this episode, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Bergeron, yes, the host of Dancing with the Stars, is going to be joining us.
It doesn't get any better than
this guy. This guy, yeah. He's like he's one of the biggest people on TV. He hosts that show. It's been like the number one show the last couple of years.
Yes.
I know there were some years it would battle with American Idol.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he's also on America's Funniest Videos.
Wrapping it.
Wrapping it up.
For
yeah,
himself. Well,
wrapping up his own.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder who will replace him.
Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, yeah. You
know always what? Ryan Seacrest.
Mario Lopez. Right.
Could You're be Mario Lopez.
Brian Dunkelman.
Brian Dunkelman. That's a good pull, Rob. Wow. That poor guy. Him and Andrew Ridgely from Wham.
Yeah. Why don't we promote you?
I would love
you
to.
You know, when we get Tom on the phone, maybe we should ask him.
If we think about
what
that,
if he puts in a good word for you,
that
you
would
know?
Be fantastic.
It doesn't even have to be on the show. I'll call him and I'll say, "What can you do for Tony? And how can you get him off of my show?"
See, there's an ulterior motive. In the future, I'll be on America's Funniest Videos, and this will be and featuring Gary Stein.
Well, I was thinking, why not just sort of flip flop it and go America's Funniest Videos featuring Gary Stein.
I like that too. Anyway, he's coming up in a few minutes. We're going to
have
to call him shortly. You've got some stuff. Now, I was very impressed because when we got together before the show, you were saying, you know what? I'm in a good mood.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, because on several of the shows we start off, I'm aggravated. Here's why I'm aggravated. Today you're happy.
I am, but there's a little caveat to that. And I don't like caviar. But there's a caveat to that.
Caveat.
And that is that I am happy.
You know what? There's a theme so far to the show.
What is it?
Words that sound like other words. Hookah, hooker.
Oh, yes.
Caveat, caviar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There'll be a quiz later.
Star Gary. No, that doesn't
really?
That doesn't quite work.
No.
Okay, never mind. So I am happy, and I'm going to go with that.
All right.
But I unfortunately, I need to do a little bit of a callback. I have had another antiperspirant tragedy.
No, listen.
This is really, I mean, this is awful. I just have
awful.
To bring, this is, it's horrible, really. I mean, it ruined a day. It's like, it's terrible. So what I didn't say last time I did something about antiperspirants was I said I forgot it, and that's why I had to go out and buy something, you know, called Cool Rush, which was not pleasant for me.
Right. It was the pits.
It was the pits.
Rob Ford.
Rob Ford, once again, ladies and gentlemen. he'll be taking over very soon.
So I
lied, which I'm sorry about.
Okay.
It wasn't that I forgot my antiperspirant.
Okay.
What happened is the antiperspirant that I have, which is unscented, and I won't mention the name, their packaging is suspect to me because I put it in my bathroom properties drawer.
Bathroom properties drawer.
Bathroom
sounds
properties.
Like the Batcave, Gary.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Where everything is labeled.
Exactly.
It's where everything is that I need.
Okay.
Okay? So I went in there to get my antiperspirant, and it was laying sideways, and it had been infecting everything else because it was leaking. It was leaking out of the top, and I couldn't bring it to Washington.
Now, wait a minute. Is it a solid?
It's a gel, and you take the cap off, and you turn the bottom.
Yeah.
But all on its own,
yeah,
as if I'd been on an airplane and the pressure changed, it leaked all over my razor blades and some prescription medication that I'm forced to take.
Razor blades? You have razor blades in your drawer?
Well, not every show goes perfectly.
You don't have, well, not razor blades, like, you know, good news.
Yeah.
Good news. I've got to be so specific with you or you don't get it.
You're painting a picture, and the picture I'm getting is an old junky drawer with razor blades and spilled.
That's because you're not adding any imagination to the picture, I don't think.
Okay.
So can I get through this?
Please, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you're dying for me too. So we were forced to stop at that 7-Eleven, and I had to get the Cool Rush and all that. So I packed yesterday to come here, and I start to take the new container out of the drawer.
Did you clean the drawer?
I cleaned it completely.
Okay.
It was spick and span.
Gotcha. Perfect.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So it looked great until...
It was an old comedy duo.
Yes, it was.
Which they had to stop.
You're not allowed to say that anymore.
Times were changing.
Yeah. because span is not appropriate. All right, so I really, lo and behold, to my shock and awe, I reached into the drawer, and this new one was leaking all over my stuff.
Really?
Yes. And do you know what I was forced to do, Tony? Because
what?
I would not bring that heinous Cool Rush with me.
Of course not.
You know what I had to do? I had to go down into the kitchen and get Saran wrap and I had to wrap the antiperspirant so I could bring the one that I liked the best. Because if you remember last time, I couldn't sleep with the Cool Rush
on. That's right.
You
yeah.
So I did bring this one, but I don't know what to do with the manufacturer except to say, your packaging is inferior.
Do you know?
And you need to do something else.
If you were to write a letter, and you know, emails are okay, and a phone call is always disregarded, but I have found a letter would probably get you not only an apology, but some sort of great coupon.
Wow, can we stop the show early so I can go right home and
wait a second. Now, you love this product,
right? You love this product.
I do.
Now, what if you got some sort of $10 credit towards this product?
I don't want just a $10 credit. What do you think I'm made of? I want
it's free deodorant.
I want a case. Well,
no,
you might get it.
You might get it. But do you want a case of a deodorant that keeps falling over and spilling on all
just
your
Just make
other
sure
shirts?
The case
yes.
stays
you know,
right
you know
side
why?
Up.
You know why? This is completely unrelated. There's something wrong with my brain. Jerry Lewis only wears a pair of socks once and throws them out.
Yes.
If
true.
I get
yeah.
enough deodorant, I'll only
use it once,
throw the whole thing out before it breaks.
That's brilliant.
And if they send me enough, this could go on for a long time.
Have the case shipped to Tony's house, and it's waiting for you.
That's right. You know, it will always be
it's
there.
It's always there. Oh, man.
You know what? That's kind of ingenious. Use it once and throw it out.
Exactly. Why not?
In fact,
why not?
Now that I think about it, when you use it, it's putting deodorant on you, but isn't it also picking up some of the stink?
Probably. Probably.
Do you ever put on deodorant while you have a stink?
No.
You take a shower
you
put it on.
Look,
I didn't mean to get into this in a big
dicey
way.
Dicey situations.
Yeah. In a pinch.
Yeah. In a pinch.
In a pinch.
You're just hoping. Yeah. I hope this works.
Well, you know, maybe it's a good idea to use it once or twice and throw it out. That's what I would like to do. So that's where I was a little aggravated, and
right.
I needed to revisit that.
I see.
But I'm basically happy, and here's why I'm happy.
Okay.
I have finally done something I've been wanting to do for a very long time. I unfriended someone on Facebook.
Oh,
you know, it's a
you
great
know,
feeling.
Liberating.
You know what? And I gotta tell you, I got a few things to say about this. And please, you know, add your own reasons for
sure.
why people need to be ejected.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I cannot, you know what? People who say, I'm at Starbucks getting a coffee and I'm thinking about buying a scone. You know, I get so upset with that. I don't know why I need to know it. I don't know why your life is so empty that you need to tell people.
Yes.
I'm on a platform waiting for a train. I'm at Bloomingdale's and I'm not sure what I need.
If you
don't know what you need, why
right.
are you telling me?
This is what kept me off social media for the longest time. That kind of thing that I would always hear about, like, you know, and seeing pictures, someone would say, look at this, what someone just sent me, a picture of their lunch. I don't care what your lunch
yeah.
looks like.
Before exactly. or after they ate
right,
it. I don't
right.
want to see that.
Or during.
I don't need to see that.
No.
Now, here's my question for you. This is a first wonderful step towards hatred.
It is.
When you unfriend this person, but did you unfriend and block them?
Ooh.
Oh, God. See, you know, I don't know a lot about...
Blocking is
no,
great.
How, probably I'm just, say, how do you? What
well,
do you do?
First step, though, Rob. You got to.
Yeah,
you
know,
do they know
you're advanced at all this?
Do they know? Do they know you've unfriended them? And do they know that you've blocked them?
They would only know that they've unfriended you or you've unfriended them. Forgive me if they went to your page and saw that you were no longer friends. The blocking is a little more severe because that means they can no longer see anything you post or message you, or it goes both ways.
Oh,
if they search
who,
you,
who goes
if
both
they
ways?
Search you, you won't even come up.
You don't exist anymore.
Wow.
My theory on Facebook has always been that my Facebook wall is a party. And I might not know intimately everyone who comes to my party.
Right.
But if you bring something negative or less than fun to my party, I don't want you there.
I like this
Get
philosophy.
Out.
So have you unfriended and blocked?
Oh, last night, two guys.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
No kidding.
And you know what? There's that's valuable real estate.
Well, now.
I don't want to bring people to my party.
Fans,
that is going to be a drag.
Fans right. of our show are showing up on my Facebook page, and they don't stand a chance of being blocked or
no.
canceled.
Because
let's
you know what?
Clear.
You're so glad they came to the party.
I am.
Right,
and
right.
they maybe
I'm
brought
thrilled.
Dip.
But people, so maybe some Pringles.
Exactly.
You know, but the people who have like nothing to say, but they dare to think it's interesting, they need to go.
And you are the proctor.
That's right. Yeah, I am. And now I've taken somebody else away who I will now block. I didn't realize I just unfriended. And this is touchy. This is really touchy. I want to tell you a little bit about this because I unfriended somebody who was a lifelong family friend.
Oh.
And yeah. And he was an amazingly close friend of my father's, and I've known this person my whole life. He's also an incredibly well-known author with a book that's revised. It comes out every year. When I met him, he was poor as a church mouse. And this man is incredibly successful, but nobody's more impressed with it than him.
Okay.
And it didn't start out that way, but he's become more and more insufferable to me.
Okay.
And I read the last post, which is always an attempt to hide behind a false, humble opinion of himself, but the truth of how he feels about himself just comes through all the time.
Can I take just a guess?
Please.
You don't have to verify.
Oh, don't. Yeah, go ahead. All right.
You want to write it down?
It's a book that comes out once a year. Yeah. Here, I'll write it down. I'm going to guess. Book comes out once a year. Very famous author. It's revised every year.
It's the book is famous.
And what the posts bother you because he's what? A little...
Oh, well, I'm going to read you a couple of lines from the last post.
I'm going to guess. Is it God and the Bible?
Sorry. Incorrect.
Incorrect. I'm sorry.
You know what? Okay. It was. But according to him, I think it would be very close.
Oh, so.
The judges have reconsidered. So,
I think you win. Okay, so here's his. I'm sorry to do this. But
no,
here's
okay.
his.
This is the place for this.
Here is his wonderment. According to BookScan, it says the average nonfiction book never sells more than 5,000 copies in its lifetime. Sad news indeed for any nonfiction author. Therefore, I'm often asked to explain why my book has sold more than 10 million copies. Oh. And of course, the truth is, I haven't got a clue. I'm lucky or blessed, but that doesn't explain it. I know that writing is in my DNA, but that doesn't really explain it. Look, I know I'm immensely playful, and that shows up even when I'm writing about serious subjects, but that really doesn't explain it. So what I ask is, why this book? That's the mystery. There's never been a promotional campaign for the book, no book tours, no nothing. You figure it out. Asking me, the author, is like asking the fish inside the fish tank, how is it perceived by people outside passing by? Baffling, but let the fish tell how it is, and at least that's inside the tank. I don't even know what he means by that, but here's what made me go away.
He should revise this post every year.
Yeah. So here was the coup de grace.
Okay.
This was the one, because I suffered through this and many others before it, and over the years, it's gotten more and more self-congratulatory, okay? This is a separate post.
Okay.
There's a rumor going around that 2 weeks from today, the New York Times will have a piece about me in the business section of its August 31st Sunday edition. According to the rumor, it'll compare the first edition of the book with its current edition. From whom did this rumor originate? Oh, from the New York Times editor who interviewed me, and from the New York Times photographer who was standing right there. Click!
Insufferable.
Good for you.
Family friend, the thing that's shocked me forever about this is that every time he writes one of these posts, people say, oh, man, you are that's so wonderful and so inspiring, so unfriended.
Yeah, good. Good.
You know what? Good for you.
Thank you. It took a lot.
Yeah. As soon as you learn how to drink... then you can block him.
You can take
prerequisite.
Let me say this: the first post where he says, "How can it be if there's only 5,000 usually sold? It's 10 million sold." I don't know the answer. How can it be? You know what I would have done before unfriending him?
What
I would have just answered. Maybe it's because there's no accounting for taste.
I had. You know what? I wrote an entire thing that I erased.
Mm.
I said, I am so happy for you. Obviously, not nearly as happy as you are. I'm impressed by you, but again, not nearly as impressed as you are. And if my father were still alive, I think he would be wildly disappointed in what you've become.
Wow.
And once I did all of that, I erased it and decided I don't need to do that. So here I am on our podcast where we have thousands of listeners. and people will absolutely know who I'm talking about. And I, you know what? I think that as you get older, you really just don't care.
Yeah, you don't care anymore.
I'm not. Yeah. But you just don't care anymore. You know?
Wow.
You know, here's the thing about
I've known him my whole life since before I was born. I've known him.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing about that. Here's the thing that I don't like about it because it's so. Who could it be? And what's this rumor?
Yeah.
When you could really just write, guys, so excited to find out my book just sold 10 million.
And that's the way to spin it.
How
right.
shocking.
You know
I'm amazed.
Right.
Be humble.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, be truthful. I would say more than humble, be truthful.
Yeah.
If you're excited that you're being covered by the New York Times,
right.
let us
right.
know. If
right.
we like you,
right.
we're going to share in your
excitement.
Exactly. Or
this
Gary will unfriend you.
right. No, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because there's a way to do that. There's a way to tell everybody. Because we're doing it now. I'm doing it about the podcast, but I'm not.
Right.
I'm not hiding it behind. No,
where you're pretending to be.
I'm saying I'm so thrilled, and I can't believe we have all these listeners. And that's not me celebrating myself.
Right.
I'm in genuinely, awe of that.
Right.
Exciting,
right.
and
right.
it's exciting. It's fantastic.
Someone I know you'll never unfriend is Tom Bergeron, who we want to get to. We've got a couple of minutes before.
That's
well,
right.
No, we should actually. We really should call him. Great. You've known him for how long?
Tom?
Yeah.
I've known Tom since 94. We've been very good friends since then.
And let's try to get him on the phone. I it's very funny because when you and I met in 99, I don't know if you remember this, a lot of when we were coming up with stuff, let's try this on Good Morning America, you would say to me, well, you know, on breakfast time, we would do this and that. And I hated it for a while.
Well, you'll also hate that there's nobody more humble
he's great.
Than Tom Bergeron.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about real, he's the real thing.
All right, I think we got him on the phone. Intro music, please, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us on the phone from Hollywood, California, the star of Dancing with the Stars, one of the best guys on TV, Mr. Tom Bergeron. Tom, you there?
Hello.
Hey, Tom, I have no idea what voice Tony was just using to introduce you. that was his introduce a show host a voice. That's what it was.
I got a little bit of Wink Martindale out of it.
One of my favorites.
It was me trying to impress you a little bit. It was my kind of game show announcer voice because I have much respect for you and I just want it to be done right and I want to sound professional in your presence. So that's what that was.
Oh, so that was a respectful introduction. It sounded a tad mocking, actually.
This is going well.
I think you picked up on something. It was more than a tad.
No, not at all. We are thrilled that you're with us.
I'm not that happy.
I didn't, Tony, you didn't tell me Gary would be involved in this.
Yeah, you know what? His name is on the show, so we have to, has to get.
I thought that was a mistake. You told me that was a misprint.
Yes, but it's lasted quite a while.
Right, that's right.
I know. Congratulations on this, by the way. I've listened and enjoyed it. Gary and I go back a long time. Tony, you and I have worked together in the past as well on GMA.
Yes.
So this is a nice little reunion here.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm really glad you're doing this. It's really wonderful. I thought you might say yes, but then I thought you might lie and just tell me you were way too busy.
I was going to have my people deal with you, but they didn't show up for work, and I took a call. So what are you going to do?
You know, Tom, I wanted to start by asking you something because we met in 94 when we launched the FX network, and you were the host of Breakfast Time,
mm-hmm.
and it was... You know, we will talk. We will talk. We need to talk about that because we've both admitted it was the most amazing experience we ever had in television. But what happened to you after that? I just was curious about where have you been?
Well, you know, it's really a tribute to the Witness Protection Program that I've stayed anonymous as I have.
Oh my goodness.
Oh boy.
You know what? We're kidding. You first of all, let me say this. and I know you and Gary are very good friends. What's great about this whole thing, and I just want everybody to know, is that you know, Tom's a big shot. He's a big shot. Hosts the number one. Well, but you host the number one show on TV with Dancing with the Stars, one of the perennial favorites, America's Funniest Home Videos. You are a busy guy, very much in demand. I know you were just here in D.C. a couple of months ago for the 4th of July show. Yeah, and Tom's people did not answer the phone. It was Tom. He's got no people. And I was, when Gary told me that you had listened to the show, we were both so delighted to hear that, and that you said yes right away. I just thought that's very cool, because I know you're a busy guy. I know you got a lot going on. So props to you for that. Thanks for doing it. We really do appreciate it.
Well, truly my pleasure. I really, you know, I started in radio, and I have a real affinity for not only what Howard Stern would call terrestrial radio, but all of the different natures that radio has evolved into, primarily the podcast. So, you know, I just think it's a great medium, and you guys are great at it, so I'm happy to be part of it.
Thank you so much. We were talking about Breakfast Time, and every time you and I bring it up, we talk about the freedom and how ahead of its time it was. I don't really think there's ever been anything like it. Do you? I mean, we talk about it every time we almost get together.
No, I agree with you. Not that I've seen, and I would strongly advise anybody who wonders what the hell we're talking about to go on YouTube and just type in Breakfast Time, FX Breakfast Time, and you'll see people have posted videos. A lot of compilation videos are on YouTube, as a matter of fact, which give you a real sense of how wonderful the show was, how liberating it was for us to all do. It was we had a basic outline, obviously, but it was largely improvised, and it was just an incredible group of people that were brought together for it.
You did something unbelievable, Tom. I remember that you had a little tiny blue index card, I think the smallest index cards they make, and everybody wanted to hand you a rundown of who we were going to have on the show for the day, and we knew that we could veer and go anywhere we wanted. You put the entire show, all you needed, on one little index card, and Tom, you went for 2 solid hours.
Yeah,
I couldn't get over it. I couldn't believe you did that.
What I would do in my dressing room in the morning, I'd take the rundown and I'd say, all right, what in each segment, and you know, Lori Hibbert, now Gelman, my co-host, we'd swap off on segments, and we had a great cadre of road warriors like Phil Kogan, who's now an Amazing Race, who would be somewhere in the country. But I would look at what's the 2 top points to me of any given segment. And I would just, with a little flare pen, write that, you know, in a little place on the card. And I knew that, failing anything else, I could milk those 2 points for a good 5 minutes.
you were amazing at it. I mean, I studied that because I also did a lot of improv, and I thought, You were great at it. You really improvised the entire show.
Well, Tom, let me set the stage for people who aren't aware of this. And Gary, you went over it very quickly. You guys really did launch FX,
yes.
The FX network. This is back in what year?
94.
94, right? Okay. And it's Breakfast Time. Gary, you're the producer. You're one of the.
I was a coordinating producer of the show. But when you're done, I want to tell you what my real job was.
Okay, so you're a coordinating producer. It's Tom. It's Lori Hibbert. Who also made the transition over to the network show when it moved over to Fox and became
Fox After Breakfast.
Fox After Breakfast.
And became a disaster.
But you know what? And we'll get into that. But that was when I first became aware of you. So I didn't get to see Breakfast Time. I saw Fox After Breakfast, which I thought, you know, it was a version of Breakfast Time, but I hadn't seen Breakfast Time. So I thought Fox After Breakfast initially was great.
I think that's fair, Tony, because, you know, people who didn't see the cable show and what we did there didn't have that frame of reference. The rock group Yes, for example, was so enamored by the Fox After Breakfast version that they reunited on the show. So, Betty Shabazz, Malcolm X's widow, the late Betty Shabazz, was a big fan. She came and had breakfast with us. And so I have to appreciate that even that show in its infancy,
right,
had elements of the cable show that people responded to. It just didn't have enough, and it didn't sustain them.
The network got involved.
Didn't sustain because it started to get dismantled after being on for a few months, and that was really the undoing of that show. They wanted to improve on Breakfast Time, and that really wasn't possible. I do want to say what my job was, Tom, because I've never had a better job in my life. My job, besides being a coordinating producer, was to be right up against Tom the whole show, walk the set with him, have a headset on, and we had the show planned, but if something funny came up, it was my job to get Tom in trouble. One example was I would sidle up to Tom and I would say, "The donut guy on the corner just ran out of donuts. Mm-hmm. Let's grab camera 5, which was our street cam,
right,
and let's go out and order 200 donuts." And Tom would either look at me with like just a little imperceptible no, or it would be a little sly nod of the head, and I would say in my headset, "We're going outside for the next after the next commercial break. Kill what was coming up." And that freedom, Tom, it was the most fun I ever had, because I had to be in tune with you, and I couldn't have had I used to ride my bike to work at 5 in the morning. I looked like the Wicked Witch on the bike, you know, because I raced
Mrs. Gulch,
there.
Yeah.
I was Mrs. Gulch. I raced there because I didn't know what was going to happen for the day.
Speaking of donuts, do you remember the time that I decided to bring donuts to Dennis Franz and Jimmy Smits while they were shooting a scene from NYPD
Blue? I was standing next to you.
And I walked by the actual New York cops they had hired for security. And I didn't realize they were in the middle of a take, and some poor woman is playing a shooting victim in the car. And I'm walking up and they're shooting me for the FX show from our camera on the building across the street. You see me walk up going, "Mr. Franz, Mr. Franz, you want your daughter?"
Yeah. But then what happened with him?
Well, he was great because he had watched FX, so he recognized me. Jimmy Smits was on the other side of the car, thank God. He looked like he wanted to kill me. We finally had to send Lori out to kind of make peace, you know. Send the attractive Canadian girl out.
I want to ask you a question. Did you, and I've always wondered about that, because you're naturally very funny, and you've incorporated that to varying degrees with every gig you've had. Did you ever do stand-up?
I did, very, very briefly. I didn't have that kind of skill set to try to make drunks laugh at 2 in the morning, you know. I like improv theater and improv comedy and radio, where I started.
Yeah.
And that's where I got my improv chops, really, and just that and 8 years of parochial school pissing off nuns.
Yeah, I didn't get to that.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, we've mentioned this many times to each other. I've said to you, you know, you've had an unbelievable career, and I'm not really trying to bury you like it's over. But Hollywood Squares and America's Funniest Home Video and Dancing with the Stars, you bring a lot to that, and you bring humor to it, your natural humor. But I've known you a long time, and I knew you at a time where you needed to be funny all the time, and you were hysterical. And I don't really think that people know that you really were right for late night. You really should have been maybe back then a late night talk show host, because you had everything. It's a very tough job to be able to be funny, to be a good interviewer, to keep track of the time, to know what's going on, and to handle all of those things. I said to you once that you were the only person who could ever follow Johnny Carson.
Wow.
That is probably the highest praise anybody can get hosting realm, because to me he was and still is the gold standard, and
for us too.
At a time, I suppose you know, back 20 years ago it might have been something that could have been fun. But as I've said to you, and we were talking about it yesterday, as a matter of fact, just when we were talking privately about me doing this, that fire in my gut long since burned out. I mean, I just I really like the kind of lifestyle I have now and the pace at which I'm working now and mm-hmm. the idea of going to work every day. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep, I get it.
I have to say, and you know, we met a couple of times at GMA, and Gary, you know, I inherited Gary from you, essentially. I mean, Gary and I started working it. Yeah. And but his job...
The ceremonial passing of the Stein.
That's right. And, you know, his job with me was very similar to his job with you, which is why I'm hurt when I hear him say that working with you was the best thing he ever did. But, you know, his job was to find the funny and, you know, we had to be out with the crowd and do all that kind of thing. And we were very successful with that. But as you know, you had a lot of freedom in your radio days. And then with the Breakfast Time show, as soon as you get over to the network, that starts being, you know, there are committees running everything and looking at everything. And you start to lose some of that freedom. So it became a little bit harder. We still did, I think, pretty well.
We did.
Yeah. But it's a harder thing. It's a different thing. And look, you're an ABC guy. You've been with the network how long now? You know how all that runs.
Oh, absolutely. I remember one of the first times back in the, probably 97, I guess, I filled in on GMA, filled in for Charlie, and I actually got up from the seat because I had an idea to just walk across the set, and people were having massive coronaries. Oh my God!
It's a very different thing.
Can I ask a question? Hi, it's Rob. I'm a massive fan of the Jerry Lewis Telethon. And one thing that I've noticed about you, and I think that really Dancing with the Stars might be the last entertainment-based live broadcast on network television, and you are so natural and engaging on live television, it's almost a lost art that you can just get on there and do a live show with no safety net. And when I would watch you do the overnights on the Jerry Lewis Telethon, you had such a skill, they would give you the worst specialty acts to work with for 6 hours.
Rob, I got to tell you just one quick story about that very thing. And it was my decision to think, you know, we're on at 3 a.m. I'm going to say the following thing, and if they never invite me back, what the hell? So there was an act named Bob the Spoon. Right now, Bob the Spoon had spoons of various size, and by banging them, he was playing Flight of the Bumblebee. All right, so it comes to me, and I said, "So that's Bob the Spoon," and I'm watching Bob the Spoon, and I'm thinking, what the fork was that?
But what I always loved about you is that you would be watching something like Bob the Spoon, and you could pay it off, let people know at home that I can't believe I'm watching this either, but you were always so respectful to the act while they were there, and it was a subtle line that you always walked. You did a great job. Was it a thrill or was it a hassle being on at 3 in the morning?
No, it was great because it was like, you know, it was like Fellini with a tote board, you know? It was
Write that down. That's good. Tom, I've told Gary this, and I'm being very, very honest here. Like I said, I first noticed you on the Breakfast Time? No, the show.
Fox After Breakfast.
And I took note because I feel that you and I are kind of cut from the same cloth. There are things that I've wanted to do.
Tom, are you black?
Tony, are you black?
I'm a brother from another mother.
Yes, yeah. but you know, the things that I've seen you do are the kinds of things that I've wanted to do. Some things there's some similarities there. We both started from a funny background. We both did the radio thing, and you know, as you well know, back then radio was great. Radio is now, it's devoid of personality now. That's why people are doing podcasts like this. But I've always watched you and looked up to you. But I have to say there have been times where I've had a little bit of jealousy because I thought, oh, my, he's got this gig. I would love to do something like that. It's been, in my mind, it's been a little friendly competition that's gone on. But I think, you know, when we talk about Carson and following someone like Carson, and I don't say this lightly because, as Gary's probably told you, I'm a huge Carson devotee, and I came up in that era. I appreciate that skill set and people who do what you do and the kinds of things that I like to do. Hosting, I think hosting is a great gig. You know, hosting, whether it's a talk show, the shows that you've hosted, when you were on Hollywood Squares, oh my God, it was so funny. And I think you're great at it. I'm not saying it just to kiss up to you. You're really, really great at it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Carson epitomized this one element, and he talked about Jack Benny as well. And you can see the influences in Carson.
Totally.
Jack Benny,
yes.
Oliver Hardy. And one of the things that I always admired and continue to try to emulate is just to remember that if you're lucky enough to have a regular gig, you're there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to let the guests shine.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's okay
to be there to let the guests score or to save them if they're dying. Because, you know, like Benny, there would be shows going back to that, both his radio and then later television show. He didn't really get many laughs,
mm-hmm.
but he set them up. You know, he was the guy who set them up or reacted to the characters. And at the end of the day, it was the Jack Benny show. At the end
right.
of the day, it was the Carson Tonight Show.
That's right.
And that was part of what he saw as his role, was to make the whole show look good.
Yep,
absolutely.
He didn't have to have the last laugh. He didn't have to top his guest. If the guest is shining, the show is shining.
Exactly.
I think we had the same influence as the three of us because I loved him, but I loved who he admired. I loved Jack Benny also, and I'm a Laurel and Hardy fan big time, and it pains me when I mention Laurel and Hardy, not even just to young people, but older people who never heard of them is shocking to me because they set the bar for comedy. Oliver Hardy is the first person to use the audience as a character and to look at the camera like, can't you help me here? You know,
right.
I mean, all those, you know, sometimes I sound like a dinosaur because I feel like those people are my influences and I admire them more than anybody I can find today.
Well, I gave an interview the other day to ABC News about the 25th anniversary of America's Funniest Videos, and Chris Connolly said to me, so how do you see your role on the show? I said, well, you know, Bob Saget, as a comedian, would sometimes compete against the videos, I think of myself as a broadcaster, and the analogy I would use and talk about an old reference, I said, is Martin and Lewis. You know, if I'm sort of tone deaf Dean Martin, the videos are the Jerry Lewis of the show. and my job is to kind of set them up, you know. So, Gary, I'm using these really old references too. Don't feel bad.
That's what,
good.
That's,
good.
It's
well,
actually, it's what we do frequently on this show.
It helps Gary stay interested.
Right.
And hopefully interesting, but we don't know about that. Hey, Tom, I just want to ask something.
Yeah.
So 19 years ago when my son was born, when Ben was born, you were amazing. You were right there. And you said to me, you know, I've got this great video camera and it's a long time ago. So it took the full VHS tapes and
it was massive.
And you gave it to me and I used it and I took millions of videos of Ben. And then when Billy was born, and then I remember you called me and you said, do you still have that camera? I think I'd kind of like to have it back. And and I gave it back.
It still works.
Well,
it still works.
I was wondering if I could have it again.
Well, wait. Why did you want it back?
Because it worked. It was good.
Not only that, but that was the camera that I took the videos of my girls when they were born. They first came home. So, you know, I hadn't really intended to give it to them for good.
Yeah, see, I missed that. See, I wound up missing that. I thought it was a gift. But it turned out to be a borrow. Yeah.
To this day, they still use it for reaction shots on Dancing with the Stars.
Hey, you know what? What I remember about that is that I am still grateful that you said to me, if you don't have anything, you're going to regret it. Here, take this. And
that's cool.
I still look at those videos, and I can't believe how fast they grew up. But I remember that. And also, I don't know if I should say the number, but I'm going to.
Don't.
I turned 40 knowing you, and you brought in a present for me the next day, and it was called Fly Fishing Through Your 40s. And it was an early audio tape, and I listened to it because I thought if anything is going to help me retain my youth. And then I think when you turned 40, I think I sent it back.
Yeah. And I said, screw this. Where's my camcorder?
Tom, I want to ask you a question. There's a story I know. I don't remember if you've talked about it publicly, but I know the story. And if you're willing to share, I hope
keep
so.
It clean.
Well, it's a clean story. You spent a short period of time at Good Morning America. Do you still have your house in Connecticut?
McCree Manor.
Yes. Can you please explain?
That's New Hampshire, right?
Is it New Hampshire or
what? Yeah, that's the New Hampshire. Yeah, our sort of vacation place. Well, here's the story. While Fox After Breakfast was coming apart, Rune Arledge, like you, Tony, was watching that show and saw something that he and David Weston, who was the head of ABC News at the time, said, this is the guy we want to replace Charlie Gibson. I was like sitting on the floor doing an interview with a puppet over my shoulder. So I have these clandestine meetings with Rune Arledge and David Weston, and they decide to, once I've ultimately left Fox After Breakfast, give me a test week when Charlie's on vacation, Charlie Gibson, a great guy. And so Elizabeth Fargus and I do this week together, and she and I just instantly hit it off. She could not have been more welcoming. She was wonderfully generous and helpful to me, and we had great chemistry. And that week actually got a cheer in the old Cheers and Jeers column in the TV Guide. So on the strength of that, they signed me to be the person who would follow Charlie Gibson. In the interim, however, Elizabeth did not get that job to replace Joan London. It went to a California anchor named Lisa McCree. And to say that Lisa McCree and I did not have chemistry would be to understate it grandly. If you were watching close enough to your television, you could feel the wind chill.
I never got the feeling you didn't like her. She just
I didn't have an opinion at all.
No.
Except that she wouldn't make eye contact.
Well, she sure did.
Holy moly. She was the one that, you know, I almost had a coronary among several others when I got up that time and dared to move across the set. So it was very quickly obvious that this wasn't going to work. They had made a commitment to Lisa, but I had a contract that if they didn't announce me as Charlie's replacement by a certain date, they would have to cut me a check. At one point, they said, you know, we'll let you out of the contract if you want. And I thought, oh, no, I'm waiting around for that check. So it didn't work out. They cut me the check. And my wife and I bought a vacation home in New Hampshire, near where we met years earlier, with the proceeds from that check. And we called it McCree Manor. And I had a little gold plated plaque made for my office that says McCree Manor, established summer 1999, from cold shoulder to warm heart.
I love that story.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I love that story. I want to tell you something. I think I believe I was Rune Arledge's last hire. I think I was.
Oh, no
really?
Kidding.
Yeah, and because I came in the aftermath of all of that, because then Lisa was gone, and they were trying to figure out what they were going to do with the show. They ended up bringing Charlie and Diane back.
It's
Spencer Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I came in. But when I first met with David Weston,
It was fascinating. They called me. They knew my work here in Washington. I was on a morning show, the Fox morning show here, and I was out in the field and did a lot of, you know, I was doing the weather, but I was out there a lot and funny remotes. So they liked all that. That's what they wanted. They brought me up. Yeah. I'll never forget. I met with Amy Intellis. I'm sure you know Amy. And then we went to David Weston's office. He walked in and I stood up. We met and he said, "So, you were a stand-up comic?" I said, "Yeah, I was." And we sat down and we talked about comedy. That's what he was really interested in, which I thought was very cool. You know, there may have been one or two sentences about, you know, morning TV or whatever. That was it. He left and they offered me the job a couple of days later. But it was, you know, they were looking at, you know, as with you, they were looking at some kind of different personalities and all of that to bring to the show. They were just having a hard time figuring it all out.
Well, yeah, Kevin Newman was the newsreader when I was filling in, and Canadian guy and really a nice guy. He and I got really friendly, and when it was, and I was out the day that Princess Diana was killed. Mm. And because Kevin had worked in Canada and knew the workings of the monarchy and all that stuff, he did a great job, and as a result of that, and Lisa would actually look at him. And so then they came to me, and that was when they offered to let me out of the deal. I said, "No, no, that's fine. You can put him in, and I'll wait. But ka-ching, I'm waiting. It's all right." So Kevin and I at one point were having a conversation, and privately, and I said, "You know, whether they pick you, Kevin, or me, whoever gets it is screwed, because they weren't dealing with the real issues, which was, you know, that you've got endemic issues in the show at the time, which they've since masterfully taken care of." And sure enough, they were there for 8 months and, you know, they got blown out.
Yep, that's right. That's right. TV's a crazy thing. I want to ask you about congratulations on all the success with Dancing with the Stars. What a phenomenal show.
Thank you.
The people you get on the show are amazing, and it's just really incredible. America's Funniest Videos. Are you in your last year? Is that right?
Yes, I am. This is the we just started shooting the 25th season, which premieres October 5th.
Wow.
On ABC, and this will be my last. This will be my 15th, and I had a goal a few years ago. I said, I want to really get to the 25th anniversary of the show and take it through the 25th. And then, having done it for 15 years by that point, it just felt like the right time to, as I said, pass the pinata stick off to somebody else.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that the longest running entertainment show on ABC television? I mean, that's like Gunsmoke numbers.
Yeah, it's better than Gunsmoke numbers, I think, at this point.
Wow.
Congratulations. That's very cool to be a part of that for so long.
Yeah, no, and it's a real tribute to how, in the age of YouTube, Vin DeBona and his team have been able to keep that show fresh and visually, and the way they package the videos.
Yes.
The New York Times had a story the other day that I didn't even realize this, that our numbers were up 11% over the summer in the Young Demo, and that it's the number one, they always have subcategories for everything, but it's the number one family viewing show on TV.
Yes, well, that's right. That's everybody can watch it together.
My kids have the season pass on all our DVRs.
Yeah,
you are on my TV all the time.
Yeah.
The funniest thing, I was sitting in a bar or a restaurant bar yesterday at the Grove after a production meeting for Dancing, and on the TV was of me from 2001 hosting AFE, and I'm looking up at this brown-haired version of myself. And is there anything else on that you can find?
I remember that guy very well. Is when I had brown hair too. Yeah.
Hey, at least we have hair.
Right. That's right.
Yes.
Hey, Tom, I want to tell you something I've carried with me for a very long time. It was a funny moment. We were at Times Square Studios. You had just done, I think, some radio in the radio booth there, maybe a satellite tour or something. And we went out to get a bite, but before we did that, you had to make a phone call, and it was somebody who was asking you about whether or not you were available to do a particular project, and you said, "I don't really know. I've got this pilot I have to do," and then they obviously asked you what it was about, and you said, "Well, I'm not completely clear on it, but it's called Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, boy.
And I know I'm shooting it in like 2 weeks, but I have no idea about my availability. You know, we'll have to see. I was with you when you were, just finding out you were doing this pilot.
And it should not, by any logical stretch, have worked. I mean, the slug line and celebrity ballroom competition, it's like, oh, okay, what's on the other channel? but not only as a cultural phenomenon when it premiered and is still, knock wood, going strong, but for me, as the host of it, finding this wonderful, kitschy hybrid of old style variety and, yes, and modern reality, and the producers and the network, really from the start almost, said to me, we trust your sense of humor, your sensibilities, that you can lovingly make fun of the show as you're hosting it.
Mm-hmm.
The line I've always drawn is, I'm very protective of the couples, but I'll make fun of everything else, the spray tanning, crazy award. So it's proven to be just an amazing gift of my career, this unlikely hit.
I remember when I first heard about the show, and again, I'm being very honest here, when I just first heard about it, I was at GMA, and, you know, of course, a big deal about the new fall shows and stuff. I remember thinking, what? My main thought was, it wasn't you or anything, it was, well, who's going to go on this show? Not everybody can dance. Right. You're going to run out of stars who can dance. But lo and behold, you've had, you know, Super Bowl champions and all kinds of people on the show. It's amazing.
And of course, the conceit is, you don't want them to be able to dance that well. Inevitably, you get people who do, but it's more that one of the seasons that surprised me because it didn't do as well as we thought was our All-Star season, and research showed that people didn't want to see everybody come out of the gate dancing really well.
Right.
They wanted to watch that process, that journey, if you will, that hackneyed phrase, but happen over the course of the season, and don't come out of the gate looking like you just stepped off the Broadway stage.
I think that's the key. I think, because I didn't know who the audience was going to be. It turned out the audience is everybody. What I like about the show the most is watching people that don't seem like they're going to be dancing well come out. Even if they don't win, they always wind up saying, it's the best time I ever had. I learned so much. And to watch them learn how to, I mean, I can't dance at all. You know, and a lot of people come on the show and say that they can't, and by the end of it, they're pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that part. I also like watching Wayne Newton try to catch his breath.
You can see that anytime in Vegas.
He was in Dr. Payne, I think.
Oh, was that a great joke?
Listen, Tom, we're going to let you go. I know you're a busy man. I want to say a couple of things. Number one, you mentioned people should go to YouTube and watch Breakfast Time, look for the old clips. I would also encourage people, and my goodness, I get stuck on this sometimes. I'm on YouTube. I'm looking at old game show clips and the game show bloopers. Yes. Man, you got to watch. Because here's the thing about you. People think hosting is easy. It's not. You got to know the room, you got to know the audience, and you got to know where that line is. And what I like about you, and if people watch closely the different projects you're in, you always know where that line is.
He does.
And you know it for the different venues, the different audiences. It's different for Hollywood Squares than it is for America's Funniest Videos, Right. And you know it, and that's great. I respect you for that. I want to tell people, go to YouTube, look up the old clips from Hollywood Squares, because, man, there was some funny stuff. And some of the bloopers, you guys looked like you were just having a ball on that show.
We were. And the classic one, look up Hollywood Squares and then the phrase, "You fool," Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes.
And it was, he was the last square, and it went back and forth and back and forth and for almost the entire show. And every time the contestant would guess wrong, Gilbert would yell, "You fool!"
It's great. I've seen it. It's great. And it goes forever. Flattering. It goes forever. You're falling off your chair. It's great. Also, we remind people to watch Dancing with the Stars and your final season of America's Funniest Videos. Your book, I'm Hosting as Fast as I Can, I think is now on Kindle.
Paperback, and hardback,
and holding up some of America's finest windows.
Yeah, but listen, we're doing a great job of shilling for you, you have to admit.
I appreciate, well, given what you pay to show up on the show, sure, okay.
We got to do something.
There's going to be a benefit somewhere. I don't know what it is. Tom, one more thing. You and I have been joking for 20 years about the fact that one thing that's kept our relationship fresh is the fact that we never seem to be able to get together. I think, we've texted each other 1,000 times about dinners we've never had.
And I know.
I think that's why we're still very good friends, and I would like to invite you to dinner, and I hope you don't come, but at some point on either coast, I really have to see you.
I think proximity might ruin this, but I'll risk it.
Nice. Very nice.
And if you're ever in town, come by the show. Tom Bergeron, thanks for joining us. We love it.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
Thanks so much. You can drive your car now.
Thank you.
There he is, the king of television, right. Tom Bergeron.
He's great.
Love him.
He's great.
Love
and, you know, I would not be doing my job if I didn't say, buy Tom Bergeron's book at MikeOmarischa.com/Amazon. Thank you.
He's absolutely fantastic. Great.
Wonderful.
All right, now, we got to do this because we're almost out of time. We didn't do it last week, the Beatles trivia.
Yes.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Here's what I want to do. Yes. Rob,
I say no.
Rob is a huge Beatles fan. We've gone to a Paul McCartney concert together. We send each other. It's more you sending me stuff. A real cool Beatles.
Well, occasionally
stuff.
He will send me something that says, stop it.
Well, he's been telling me that you know a ton about the Beatles. He knows, I'm going to be involved in this, but this is going to be between the two of you.
Well, you know some stuff, too.
I hope I make a showing, a decent showing. Anyway.
I love the Beatles, and I've loved them my whole life.
Yeah, I just want to see which of us knows the most. So, Rob Ford is going to be our host for this game.
Yes.
It's a Beatles trivia game. Rob, Gary, and I will go, I guess we'll start with Rob, then me, then Gary.
Sounds good.
Okay.
The first person to get Fab Four answers correctly. Will be the winner.
Now, before we start,
what do you get?
See what I did there?
I do.
Yeah.
What is the prize, Tony?
I think the prize is a case full of deodorant.
Yes.
But you have to use it at Tony's house.
One and then throw it out.
That's right. That's right.
I did bring in a little treat for you today, and I don't know.
Did you?
I think you'll like this.
Okay.
This is goes back to 1964. The big jingle company, the company that made jingles in America, was based in Dallas. They were called PAMS, P-A-M-S, mm-hmm. and it stood for something, but I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
And their biggest client was WABC in New York.
Oh,
W-A-Beatles-C, right?
That's right.
Oh,
and they actually commissioned an early 1964 custom Beatles jingles to run on the air.
You're kidding.
Really?
No, just for Beatles records. It was, for those of you who are keeping score at home.
Rob's going to win.
No. PAM Series 26D, and they married two particular Beatles records. And I wanted to play a couple of them for you.
Oh, I would love to hear
this. I don't know if you've ever heard them or not. These are pretty cool. Here's the one for All My Lovin'.
Close your eyes and listen to the Beatles. They're happy. 77 WABC.
Close your eyes.
So if you were listening to WABC in the summer of 64.
And I was.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I never heard that.
You've never heard them.
I've never heard that.
Want to hear another one?
Yes.
I don't remember it, but.
Yeah, I love these.
It's time to hear a brand new.
That's fantastic.
I know you made Tony's day.
Pretty
I know
neat,
that.
Huh?
Yes, that's fantastic.
One more,
please.
One more.
Yes. Oh, I love this. Because you know what?
Just keep it going.
Because it's Beatles. It's back when radio was so much fun.
So cool, yeah.
Creative. Mm. Oh, this is great. Yeah, let's hear it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Tell you something. I want to hold your hand. And hear the Beatles on 70.
And it's fun to play the actual jingle for the song.
Yes.
It's just great.
Oh,
great.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's a few. Maybe we'll play a couple more for you next week.
Oh, boy. And that was the big station in New York. Well, there was also Winds, 1010 Winds. They were news, right?
Right.
But everyone was always playing catch up with WABC.
And I was listening to Cousin Brucey and eventually Dan Ingram. And But that WABC song, I've known that forever.
Your whole life.
Well, do you know, I was born in New York City. And we lived there until 1964. We moved down here. And we would go back every year. My grandmother lived there. But I still bring that down.
Yeah,
still remember, and to this day, from hearing on the radio, driving around in the city or driving up to the city when we moved down here, and then you could get the New York stations being so excited because I would hear WNEW, New York. I remember all those jingles.
Yeah, so. And WABC, for the people here in D.C., a lot of their jingles, they use the template or the boilerplate for WPGC, which was the big top 40 here. So some of these jingles, not the Beatles ones, but when you hear WABC jingles, you'll recognize them from hearing them here in Washington, D.C. as well. One of the greatest radio stations of all time.
Maybe we should do a jingle. Yeah, you're right.
Do a jingle show?
We should do, we should do a radio retrospective show. But maybe we should do jingles for this show. That would be great.
That'd be great.
Oh, they do them. They absolutely do them. And they could sound like this.
The Beatles Spectacular is really moving. On 77 WABC.
That is great. I love that.
All right, but this is me just buying time so I don't lose this quiz.
Yeah, right. You've already won. Yeah. Now you have to win. You have
I suppose
you
so.
You have to win.
All right.
All right, Rob Ford, you want to kick it off? We'll start with Rob Spiewak. I'll be number two, Gary number three. First person to get four right wins a case of deodorant.
Nice.
Oh, very nice. Sounds good. All right, Rob.
Yes.
Who recorded the Red Rose Speedway album?
Oh, easy.
Oh, that's easy. Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney, yes. Wings.
Well, it was...
Is it Wings?
It was Paul McCartney and Wings.
But
Paul McCartney, we take...
Acceptable, absolutely. We'll give yourself a ding.
Give yourself a ding.
Thank you, I'll take it.
I've got to keep score here.
I'm part of the way there.
Tony.
Yes.
What color hair does Linda Eastman have?
Did she have? Blonde.
Thank you for keeping it classy.
Correct. Yes.
Blonde. All right, I got one. Give me a ding.
That was a very easy question.
Yeah.
I'm going to get something hard.
I'm not going to say still growing.
Oh.
I'm not going to say it.
Don't say it. I don't think you should.
Not anymore.
No.
How about the fingernails?
All right,
Gary.
Jeez.
Who directed A Hard Day's Night?
Richard Lester.
Very good.
Wow. Correct.
Good call.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not behaving like a good contestant because I do know a lot of the answers.
Well,
so
you're
you're
like doing the Alex Trebek thing.
I want Tony to miss one so badly.
I know.
No idea.
Well, if they're all this level, I won't miss these.
No, you won't.
This is from an old game, by the way, called, what's it called on the side? The
Beatlemania.
Beatlemania.
The Illustrated Treasury. I guess there's like a coffee table book that goes along with it.
It was a game that came out in, I think, the late 90s.
Oh,
I never played it because no one would play me.
Because he didn't have a podcast. Yeah.
He had no friends.
All right, Rob.
Yes.
Who produced Cold Turkey?
Cold Turkey, the John Lennon song. I will guess Phil Spector, because they were all sort of dealing with Phil then.
I think that's right.
Is it Phil Spector?
I'm sorry. It was John and Yoko.
Oh.
Boy, you big-time loser.
You know what? Now, Tony, go to
chance
the stars,
for Tony
baby.
To take the lead.
All right. Here we go.
Who starred in the movie Caveman?
Ringo Starr and Barbara Bach.
That is correct.
I knew that.
Yep.
Ding.
I get two.
If I get... No, you get...
No, just one.
I'm
total.
Up to two.
Oh, I thought you were giving you a Barbara Bach.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I thought was monkey business.
You got to watch him.
I get
that was the Marx Brothers.
That's right. Yeah, well, we're not old-timey. Room service.
Oh, very good.
Gary, your question.
Yes, sir.
Who sang lead on I'll Cry Instead?
Gary, are you still with us?
Dinah Washington?
No, that
wasn't a guess.
He's answering like Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
Right. Fake answer, real answer.
Yeah, that's right. Can I have the question repeated, please?
Sure.
You may. Who sang lead on I'll Cry Instead?
Gary.
I'm thinking.
Well, we can't have dead air.
We're going to have to call time. We need an answer, please. You have a 1 in 4 chance.
Three. John.
Nailed it.
Wow.
Okay, I don't want a singing host.
A singing host, yeah.
You don't see Drew Carey. Nailed it.
All right, Rob, you got to catch up.
Yes,
right,
I do.
Rob.
Yeah.
You're not doing well.
Which came first, Quarrymen or Nurk Twins?
I believe the Nurk Twins came first.
Unfortunately, it was Quarrymen.
Oh. This is a horrible game. Really no good at all. But they were produced by Phil Spector.
Yeah. You know what upsets me about you losing?
What?
You won't be getting deodorant.
That's true. This is a problem for everybody.
It is. It's not good. Why do you think I picked that as a prize?
Tony.
Yes, okay.
What album does Valentine Day appear on?
Valentine Day? McCartney.
Correct.
Hey!
That's not a Beatles question.
He was Ann Beatle.
Yeah, he was Ann Beatle.
All right.
Just to recap, Tony has 3, Gary 2, Rob 1.
Yes. Little guy. Little one.
Gary, yes. What is the name of George's first post-Beatle LP?
Can I buy a vowel?
No, you may not.
That was the name of it. No.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Yes. Yellow Brick Road.
That is incorrect. It was All Things Must Pass.
Oh, ooh, I knew that.
Great album.
That's actually...
I knew
technically
that.
That's not true.
Oh, wow.
He had an album before that called Electronic Sounds, which was an experimental album.
But that said post-Beatles.
Oh, it did say post-Beatles.
Post-Beatles.
Then that's correct.
Yes.
Oh, you know what? We just got to the next level of nerdiness.
And we didn't think there was any place to go.
Tony and I held hands and ran to it.
That's right. That's right.
But still not Yellow Brick Road.
No, it's still. No. Okay, yeah.
Rob.
Yes.
Who was the Beatles' music publisher?
I am thinking that would it be... That's sort of vague, and I'm not exactly sure what it means. Would it be... Macklin Music? Is there a Macklin Music?
There was a Macklin Music.
It was Dick James.
Oh,
Dick
you know, James. I almost said it. Yeah. I will never get credit. Yeah. I should have talked it out loud. Yeah. I hate this game.
You're also a poor loser.
You would not be on a TV game show.
No. It depends on the game show. Nickelodeon, I might play very well.
Nickelodeon, yeah, that's right.
They wouldn't even let you go home with the home game.
But a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni. Yeah. The San Francisco treat.
Yeah, there you go.
Mighty fine pudding.
It was always Rice-A-Roni.
Tony,
all right, I'm
for the win.
For the win.
What do you mean for the... Oh, yeah.
On what grounds did Cynthia sue John for divorce?
Oh, my goodness. You're kidding. All the questions are kind of easy, and now we get this.
Dick James was not easy.
Right. On what grounds did Cynthia...
It was cross-dressing.
I'm gonna say abandonment.
Abandonment. Can't give it to you. It's adultery.
Oh. Now it's anybody's game.
It is.
Wow. Yes.
It is. That's Mr. Right. Know-it-all.
Yeah, Tony.
Well, I know he committed adultery, but I thought, you know, sometimes it's like abandonment. Like you're not around.
Also, you know what? It was a British divorce. So
yeah,
it might
British
have been a different
divorce.
Word. Yeah.
Why are you trying to explain your wrong answer?
I did the same thing, so he gets a slide.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Gary.
Yes.
How many Beatles helped record The Ballad of John and Yoko?
2.
Wow.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Care to name them for a bonus quarter point?
A quarter point?
Quarter point?
Okay. Really?
He's making up his own rules here. I'd be happy to name them because I know, but I'm not going to play his game.
Oh, name them. Name them.
Bob and Steve.
Oh. That's right. Bob Starr and Steve Harrison.
Bob and Steve.
And John.
I would just like to remind you that we're tied.
Oh, we are tied now.
Tony and Gary.
All right.
Wow. And
Rob
me,
is...
just watching.
Here's your chance, Rob.
Yes.
Here's how it's done.
Dick James music.
Rob.
Yes.
In what year?
Dick Cheney.
Was Mind Games released?
Mind Games, the John Lennon song, and I guess an LP as well. 1970. Stop me when I get it wrong. 1974?
1973.
No! Talk about mind games.
I'm going for the win.
Tony, for the win. In what year was the single version of A Hard Day's Night released?
Wow, this is easy.
It is?
Is it? Now we'll make him think it through.
Yeah. Maybe it's not as easy as you think it
well,
is.
Well, I'm going to guess 1964.
That is correct.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? I'd say boo. Yeah.
Somebody.
Boo.
Boo. Boo. Boo. Sore winner. Sore winner.
Oh, I'm not a sore winner.
But you sure have a lot of deodorant.
Next time you're on a game show, you start by saying, oh, this is so easy.
Yeah.
Have someone else start your car for you.
Right.
Can we do jazz next time?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
You know what? That would be
oh,
fun.
Rob, yeah. We have got to do movie trivia. He will fail completely.
Excellent.
Well, and you're right. I love the movies.
You do.
I'm not good at movie trivia.
Well, and we can go back to the 30s, 40s, 50s.
Can I have Beatles movies? And then I could compete?
Yes. Yeah, that'll work.
He said Richard Lester again.
That was fun, guys. Thanks for playing along. That was good.
I love
that was great.
Beatlemania. We'll do it again. That's all we got time for, boys and girls.
What a super-sized one today.
This was a big one. Yes.
Yeah.
We thank Tom Bergeron for being with us.
Awesome.
He's fantastic. I catch him on Dancing with the Stars on ABC.
I'd like to thank the Beatles for being with us.
The Beatles, and Linda McCartney as well.
May wow. Pang was here.
May Pang, yeah. Good. Boy, you could have used that in one of these questions.
I know her. We can book her for the show.
I've had lunch with May Pang.
So have I.
We should have her on the
Let's
show.
Let's have her on.
Did you have lunch with her?
Yes.
Did you really?
Yes.
I wasn't there.
I didn't invite you.
Wow.
No, I don't think you were in New York at the time. This was before Good Morning America.
You guys were on the Lost Weekend, so.
It was Gary's Lost Weekend.
Rob knows his stuff. Yeah. Rob is coming along. Anyway, thank you. It was a great show. I shouldn't say that. You all should say that.
They should.
What an amazing show.
Please like the Tony Perkins Show on
Please.
Facebook.
Follow Please like Tony.
On Twitter at TPerkShow. Also, be sure to subscribe to the show.
Tony needs friends. Please like him.
On iTunes by searching More Broadcasting and then clicking on the Tony Perkins Show. We'll be back next week. Boys.
5-star review would be most appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's enough to make you mine, girl. Be the only one.
The Tony Perkins Show. A More Broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.